WML News at 7, I'm Heather Curtis. White House officials and a congressional delegation will be back at it again today, trying to strike a deal to reopen the government. Vice President Mike Pence, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, and Advisor Jared Kushner will meet this morning at 11. Today's meeting comes after one yesterday between the president and congressional leaders.
Congressional Democratic leaders hinting that there is no end in sight, that they didn't make any progress toward any kind of agreement to reopen the government yesterday, with President Trump calling it somewhat productive, saying perhaps there could be common ground, for example, on beefing up security at ports of entry. But the debate over border wall funding still remains contentious.
Correspondent Sarah Westwood. It's that time of year when we need to start the tedious task of getting our tax returns ready. But will the government shutdown's impact on the IRS delay the start of the tax filing season? Tony Reardon, president of the National Treasury Employees Union, says he doesn't know for sure, but
I am concerned. IRS employees are concerned because, you know, when you think about what is involved in being prepared for the tax season, one of the things, of course, is employees have to be fully trained in order to be prepared for any changes in tax laws.
He says he's heard anecdotally that not everyone's been trained. A Prince George's County police officer suspended after a woman accuses him of sexually assaulting her yesterday morning outside the New Carrollton Metro Station. Police say they responded to a report of a dispute between a man and woman. The woman asked the police officer for a ride. Chief Hank Stawinski says the woman alleges the officer took her to the Metro Station, parked, and touched her inappropriately. Afterwards, she called Metro Transit Police, and they're now investigating. And if you park at Metro stations and hop on trains on Saturdays, you can now save a couple of bucks. Starting today, Metro's no longer charging to park at Metro stations on Saturdays unless there is a big event happening. If you're a whiskey lover in Montgomery County, you still have time to take advantage of a chance to buy some extremely rare booze.
Both of the Pappy Van Winkle and Buffalo Trace are some of the hardest to find products that are out there. Whiskey lovers and enthusiasts will look high and low for these items. And it's one of those items we can't keep in stock, so we want to offer them via lottery so that it's fair.
Melissa Davis with the Montgomery County Department of Liquor Control says the lottery goes until tomorrow.
Consumers can visit our website. They can go to the lottery tab. They'll see all the rules, all the information about the lottery, and they'll also be able to submit an entry. And the entry is for a chance to purchase one of these rare, hard-to-find products.
Wendell Lano on WML and WMAO.com.
In sports, the Wizards lose to the Heat 115-109. The Caps fell to the Stars 2-1 in overtime. And the NFL playoffs begin today.
It starts with the Colts at Texans, division opponents facing off in Houston. Neither were postseason teams a year ago, and Indianapolis is back for the first time since losing the AFC Championship in 2015, the infamous Deflategate game against the Patriots. The Texans and Colts split a pair of close games during the regular season. Tonight in Dallas, the Cowboys host the Seahawks, both also not playoff teams last season. Tomorrow, it's the Chargers at Ravens and Eagles at Bears. The Chiefs, Patriots, Saints, and Rams all have bye weeks and will host games next weekend.
Joe Ramsey, WMAL, and WMAL.com.
Up next, traffic and weather on WMAL.
You must be this informed.
I'm so glad I found this radio station.
I listen to it just about every day.
To ride on another roller coaster year of breaking news.
This is crazy.
So if you're ready, jump on in and enjoy the ride.
One journey ends and the other begins.
After all, this is America.
Come with us and be a part of this.
You should listen to many voices.
Happy News Year.
This is truly an exciting time for our country.
From WMAL.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way.com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
It's 705 and WMAL. Traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
On the Beltway in McLean, watch for accident activity on the ramp from the northbound George Washington Parkway to go onto the outer loop. It is along the right side of that ramp, so use caution, but we're not seeing any delays on the Beltway through that area or on the Beltway through anywhere in Montgomery and Prince George's County or elsewhere in Virginia. Do keep in mind that on the outer loop of the Beltway between Old Georgetown Road and the Spur, we did have an accident that has been cleared. Travel lanes are open. No problems to report right now. Traveling 270 from the Beltway out towards Germantown. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, light rain and patchy fog this morning, then a chance of rain this afternoon, a high around 50. Right now, 47 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis, on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
You've got all kinds of hustle, like get the job done hustle and get the kids out the door hustle. If you've got hustle, we've got your back. University of Maryland University College, a respected state university with 90-plus programs and specializations, and more than 70 years experience serving working adults like you. That includes rolling admissions to help you get started, and you could get credit for your career experience, affordable courses, and no-cost digital course materials for most programs, and the flexibility of online classes to fit your busy life. If you've got hustle, University of Maryland University College is made for you. Start the new year with a new you resolution. Now is the time to start earning your degree at University of Maryland University College, a state university founded for working adults. Undergraduate classes start January 14th. Visit umuc.edu/radio. That's umuc.edu/radio. Certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Now, the Saturday morning update. AM 630.
Hour two of the Saturday morning update. It's a new year and it's a new Congress. John Gizzi, White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com, has been shuttling back and forth between Capitol Hill and the White House all week long. John, in your time you've spent on Capitol Hill, it is a new Democratic House of Representatives coming in. Everybody's got an angle on it. What's your read on the new Congress?
What can I really do to add to all of the hype and hoopla that the national media has said about this as a diverse Congress? That is true. There was swearing in done not just on the Bible, but on the Koran and other holy books and on the U.S. Constitution for those who are not religiously inclined. Of course, by now, unless you're on Mars, you know that there are more women in Congress than ever before, and that Republicans contribute only one woman out of their 29 freshmen. That's Carol Miller of West Virginia. That said, one has to remember something. This is a Congress that is not like, say, the Watergate Congress of 1974, when Democrats had twice as many representatives as Republicans, and essentially were veto-proof in dealing with the Republican president. They're not even close to being the substantially Democratic Congress that they were in 2008 when Barack Obama came to the presidency. The ranks not even being close to those that allowed the new president to pass the still controversial Affordable Care Act. There are 235 Democrats in the new House compared to 199 Republicans and one vacancy. That's when the Democratic majority in the House did not allow Republican Mark Harris of North Carolina's 9th District to take the oath of office. The outcome of his contest with Democrat Dan McCready still being in doubt. Nancy Pelosi was woman of the day. She becomes only the second serving, her second stint as speaker, and has promised to serve two terms wielding the gavel. At 78, she is the oldest speaker, and many believe that the Democrats now must go through a deep period of soul searching to pick a successor. Since the leadership in the House has a median age 70-plus. Overall, Republicans are looking ahead to defend their traditional conservative values. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California made that clear that personal freedom would always come first with the Republicans in the House. Meanwhile, everything that was done with the swearing-in ceremony was overshadowed by events at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, where the president steadfastly refuses to sign any bill that does not have $5.6 billion for a wall or fence on the southern border of the United States. Hence, the government shutdown is now into its second week, headed for its third.
John, you've been on both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue all week. What is your read on who's going to blink, or is this going to go on for a good extended period? I think you might have a sense from what you're picking up from people you've been talking with.
Yes. One thing is clear. The president, based on his statement yesterday and on Thursday when he was at the White House flanked by members of the U.S. Border Patrol Council, is not going to walk away with nothing in terms of border security. He may not get his $5.6 billion for a wall. He may get a less amount going to a fence made of steel. But he will get something, because I do believe this president when he said he'd shut the government down for 6 months or a year, something he reiterated in his brief mini press conference in the Rose Garden Friday. I talked to several Republican political consultants, and they agree to a person. As long as he stays firm, he not only pleases his base, but he does not engender new dislike. Literally 20% of Americans, according to the Reuters Ipsos poll, are not following the government shutdown, don't know enough about it to have an opinion, or don't care. That works in the president's favor. Meanwhile, many of those who belong to government-related unions are Democrats, and they will pressure the Democratic leadership to accept something so they can go back to work. My guess is the president still holds a winning hand right now. The one corollary to all of this is that when your own troops start to wave white flags, you're likely to go down. Former Congressman Tom DeLay, who was the Republican Majority Whip in 1995, swears to me that during the government shutdown in those cold December months, President Clinton was starting to waver and was willing to talk to Republicans about smaller appropriations bills. But then a few Republican senators came out and said, let's negotiate with the White House. And this gave Clinton the upper hand, and he eventually emerged triumphant from that whole fight. So let's just watch who emerges, if any, from the Trump foxhole in the Senate or the House. That may be a telling moment in deciding this impasse.
Democratic politicians and many Democratic voters have been waiting for 2 years to give President Trump the single-digit salute. Is part of this stubbornness that we've seen from Schumer and Pelosi over the last 48 hours just sort of the anger and Trump derangement syndrome that we've seen for the last 2 years?
I think so. And I think when the new congresswoman from Detroit came out with that phrase, we're going to impeach the so-and-so, and I'm certainly not going to repeat what she said, Nancy Pelosi said she didn't believe in censorship. That was a wink, a hint, a signal. The Democrats are going to stand up to this president and say what's just on their mind and even pursue impeachment of the president, even though we know that will go nowhere if it ever gets to the Republican-controlled Senate. My guess is this is just the beginning of a clash, and I would say now about the relationship between the Republican president and the Democratic House is a line from Shakespeare. He has tasted the purple blood that is unending war.
We will continue our conversation with John Gizzi, and we will talk about Marsha Blackburn's swearing in as a senator. Of course, she's a congressman from Tennessee who is now the senator from Tennessee. And what are the Republican consultants saying about the president's shutdown strategy? That's next, as well as Mitt Romney. And what's next for Pat Roberts, senator from Kansas, all coming up. But first off, a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Some accident activity on the outer loop of the Beltway, the George Washington Parkway, actually affecting the ramp from the northbound GW Parkway to go onto the outer loop. It's on the right shoulder of that ramp, but use caution there, but not really seeing any delays as a result. The earlier wreck on the outer loop near Old Georgetown Road cleared. All lanes are open in the area, and so far no problems to report in the district other than we do have closure in southeast. Now, Eli Place is closed in both directions in the 3300 block due to fire department activity. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today with a high temperature of 50, sunshine for tomorrow, high 53, clouds on Monday, highs in the low 40s, sunshine Tuesday all the way up to 61, partly cloudy Wednesday with a high of 44, and temperatures hovering pretty much above freezing for the next 5 days overnight, so not too bad. 46 now in Washington at 717 on the Saturday morning update. John Gizzi's with us on Saturday Morning Update, the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. You did an article, John, talking about Republican consultants supporting Trump's shutdown politics. And a lot of the pundits would say, whoa, you know, you're really playing with fire when you shut the government down, especially when you volunteer to take the heat for it, as he did initially with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in that meeting at the Oval Office. What are the consultants saying?
The consultants say that the president was pursuing a savvy political course. And I talked to five Republican consultants, four of them, including two past campaign managers of presidential candidates, Jeff Rowe, who was Ted Cruz's campaign manager, and Chip Saltzman, who was Mike Huckabee's campaign manager, agree that the president is holding his base and that he's also dealing with a public, a large percentage of which does not know or care about the shutdown, given that he can hold out for the longest time until Democrats have their base, which is organized labor and government worker unions, finally say, hey, you guys, let's do something. Given that kind of idea, I stand as firm as the president does in believing he will keep his feet in cement on keeping government closed. Let's watch and see what happens.
You know, we're talking about firsts and swearing-ins on Capitol Hill. There was one unique one that involves a former congressman, now senator.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. She was sworn into the Senate last week, and she took the traditional oath from the vice president. Then she had a private oath-taking ceremony where pictures are taken by friends, family, and supporters in her office. Administering the oath of office to support and defend the Constitution was none other than the newly minted Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. People were stunned and in awe at this, and yet it was very clear, without putting out a press release or without saying anything, Senator Blackburn made a statement. A postscript on this. When Mike Pence was sworn in as vice president, he asked Justice Clarence Thomas to swear him in. And so it is when people take a controversial yet still admired justice to do the honors. They are truly saying where they stand with someone.
Well, speaking of statements being made this week, what about Mitt Romney? Did he shoot himself in the foot with that one, or did he, I mean, I haven't heard anybody that he really gained any ground with.
Now, much of the national press said he's the lineal heir to Jeff Flake of Arizona as the leading Senate critic of President Donald Trump, in his own party, that is. In addition, it is inarguable that this is the sharpest salvo fired at a sitting president by the previous presidential nominee of his own party since former New York Governor Al Smith denounced his former friend, Franklin D. Roosevelt, in 1935. Now, it should be pointed out, Al Smith was criticizing FDR, his fellow New Yorker, for the New Deal, feeling that it had made the Democratic Party hostile to business and that was not a good policy for the United States. In Mitt Romney's case, he has yet to say a single policy with which he disagrees with President Trump. His blast, done in the pages of the Washington Post, that's a great way to win friends among Republicans, is about the president's character, his language, his references to things that are considered uncouth by many. They're all about personal matters. It's hard to find an issue with which Senator Romney disagrees. He recently announced that he would vote for a border wall and thinks that's a good idea. My guess is that Mitt Romney is going to be invited to a lot of nice cocktail parties and dinners in Georgetown, and he will get a lot of offers to be on television talk shows. As to what this all means in terms of affecting policy, we'll find out.
One last note, John. Another veteran Republican has announced he will not be seeking re-election next go-around. This is a big one.
This is a very big one. I have known Pat Roberts since he was a chief of staff to a Republican member of the House and announced that he would run for his old boss's seat in 1980. That's a long time ago. He served 16 years in the House and then another 24 years in the United States Senate, or his 24th year would be when his term is up in 2020. At 82 and at re-election last time, Pat Roberts is calling it quits. Now, he's from Kansas, a state that last sent a Democrat to the United States Senate in 1930. That was a fellow named George McGill who got out in 1939. Could it happen again?
88 years of Republicans in Kansas?
Yes, that's right. And many times they've waged strong campaigns, but it has always been close but no cigar. This time, an entire platoon of Republicans are going to be vying for the seat of former Marine Roberts, among them Kris Kobach, the controversial Secretary of State, who lost the race for governor, and Congressman Roger Marshall, and a lot of others who are less known. This is probably going to create a crowded and divisive primary and will only benefit a Democrat. Now, let me be open about something and frank. Democrats historically have not done well in winning a Senate seat. They won the governorship last year. They picked up a congressional seat. And they've seen several Republican moderates in the state legislature come over to their side of the aisle. If Democrats were ever going to win, it is now. And Kansas race, which historically is one that was always considered, is anyone's game in 2020.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Rick. And to all, if I haven't said it, a happy new year.
Well, let's hope it's happy. It'll be not so happy on Capitol Hill, I don't think. It is 7:24. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and with Cheryl Atkinson. Stick around.
There are at least three ways to lower your Novec electric bill. You could live off the grid. You could set your thermostat no higher than 68 degrees in winter. Or you could follow the ways to save tips on Novec.com. You'll discover how installing and using a programmable thermostat can save you about $330 a year. Novec helps you save energy, which saves you money. Novec, helping you save.
Will your children be ready to manage your assets after you're gone? Are there any strings you would like to attach? Have you considered their spouses in your planning? This is Chase Hinderstein, co-host of the Wise Investor Show on WMAL. We help our clients with these and other financial questions, and we'd be happy to discuss how we can work with you. Give us a call. You'll like what you hear.
To reach Chase, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better-informed, wise investor.
McMillan Sedation Dentistry started over a decade ago because I wanted to be able to provide dental care to those individuals who had a fear associated with previous dental experiences. Hi, I'm Dr. Alex McMillan, and we interact with these individuals a little differently, with much more of a TLC approach. The McMillan difference is empathy. My highly trained staff treats patients like members of their own family, and we strive to make our most fearful patients feel completely comfortable, whether it's taking a small pill to feel relaxed or sleeping through the entire procedure. McMillan Sedation Dentistry services range from comprehensive and cosmetic dentistry to teeth in a day. Whether it's a single tooth or full mouth reconstruction, these implants are the new standard of care for tooth replacement and denture stabilization. We can also tailor a treatment plan to fit your schedule and financial considerations. Isn't it time for you to smile easy? Call 703-503-9490. Online at smileeasy.com. That's smileeasy.com.
You can now listen to The Real Estate Report at 12:04 p.m. every Thursday and Friday. Here you'll find what's happening in the DMV when it comes to buying and selling homes. This new feature is brought to you by Eric Stewart, the host of Pointing You Home, heard here every Sunday morning. Tune in and listen as Eric shares his experience and knowledge in today's real estate market, buying and selling homes. To learn more or listen to one of Eric's podcasts, just Google the Eric Stewart Group.com. That's the Eric Stewart Group.com.
Your mission is winter survival. These tips will help you conquer the coldest winter in years. HVAC survival tip number one, program your thermostat. Heating bills skyrocket in the winter, but programmable thermostats can help. Program your thermostat back 7 to 10 degrees when you're away from home and save money. Don't have a programmable thermostat? Don't panic. Right now, get a Nest Learning Thermostat and a heating inspection for $379. Visit FHFur.com for more winter tips. That's FHFur.com.
It's Just Lunch presents a New Year's dating fantasy.
I've heard that you don't have a date to share New Year's good cheer. I'm handsome and my dancing's great. Your alpha male is here. I'm trim and buff, I'm lean and mean. I listen, fawn and fuss. My smile shines bright, I'm squeaky clean. There's no more me, just us.
Yeah, like that's gonna happen. Warm up your holidays with It's Just Lunch. No internet profiles or awkward video interviews. The dating experts at It's Just Lunch get to know you personally so they can match you with someone you'll actually have something in common with. Then they make all the arrangements for a great lunch date or drinks after work. Happy New Year from It's Just Lunch. Real people, real dates.
Visit itsjustlunchdc.com today. It's Just Lunch. Connection awaits with guaranteed dates.
7:28, Saturday morning update on WMAL. And as you know, the government continues into its second week of a shutdown. And there is a meeting scheduled for 11 o'clock this morning at the White House. We'll have Vice President Pence there. Jared Kushner will be there. Homeland Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen will be there. A congressional delegation will be on hand. And the idea is to try and hammer it out to get some kind of resolution in the works for reopening the government. But as of yesterday, you saw it was a complete standoff. Now, the incoming Democratic Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has become a cult hero, the media darling. She will be on 60 Minutes tomorrow night. Now, if you're in the upper income brackets listening this morning, look out. Here it comes.
But once you get to, like, the tippy tops, on your 10 millionth dollar, sometimes you see tax rates as high as 60 or 70%. That doesn't mean all $10 million are taxed at an extremely high rate, but it means that as you climb up this ladder, you should be contributing more.
So that's just a little bit of what you'll hear from her on 60 Minutes, talking about tax rates. She's very much interested in increasing taxes for what she's calling the Green New Deal. She being green, I guess it all makes sense. All right, we've got the news coming up at 7:30, and we will have Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer after that, then Cheryl Atkinson. Stay with us.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Get your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station.
News.
now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. It's now day 15 of the government shutdown, and negotiations to end it continue. Today, Vice President Mike Pence, Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen, Advisor Jared Kushner, and a congressional delegation are scheduled to meet at 11. So far, the work that's been done hasn't accomplished anything.
The House Democrats have passed a package of bills that would reopen the government, fund most of the unfunded parts of government until the end of the fiscal year, and fund the Department of Homeland Security temporarily while negotiations go on. But that's dead on arrival in the Senate.
Correspondent Sarah Westwood. Meanwhile, White House senior staffers and the president are also meeting this weekend for a staff retreat at Camp David to talk about the administration's priorities this year. The gathering comes as Mick Mulvaney assumes his new role as acting chief of staff following John Kelly's departure earlier this week. Special counsel Robert Mueller's federal grand jury will have more time. They've been given an extension of up to 6 months. Correspondent Kara Scannell on what the grand jury's done so far.
Mueller's grand jury has voted to indict roughly three dozen individuals and entities so far on charges ranging from hacking to lying to the FBI. And they've heard testimony from multiple witnesses. The extension means the grand jury will continue to hear evidence in the investigation, and Bob Mueller isn't finished.
The grand jury's term had been scheduled to end this weekend. Virginia Republicans say a tax plan they unveiled yesterday will be better for lower and middle-class taxpayers than Governor Ralph Northam's recent proposal. They say it avoids a hidden tax hike and will help Virginians benefit more from the 2017 tax overhaul. In sports, the Wizards lose to the Heat 115-109. The Caps fell to the Stars 2-1 in overtime. WMAL traffic and weather next.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation, email important clients, invoice customers, and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add one voice mobility line. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 1/31/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
It's 7:33. Traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Overall, a quiet ride on the area roadways, but a couple of things to be aware of. Still some accident and activity in McLean on the ramp from the northbound George Washington Parkway to the outer loop on the right shoulder of that ramp. Not really causing much of a delay on the Beltway itself. In the district and southeast, we have fire department activity that has Eli Place closed between 3rd Street and Minnesota Avenue, so do keep that in mind. So far, looks like a light volume of traffic on 395 heading from Edsel Road to the 14th Street Bridge. HOV lanes between Edsel Road and Washington Boulevard closed for weekend construction. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, light rain and patchy fog this morning, then a chance of rain this afternoon, a high around 50. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 39. And tomorrow, sunny, a high near 53. Right now, 47 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
There are at least three ways to lower your Novec electric bill. You could live off the grid. You could set your thermostat no higher than 68 degrees in winter. Or you could follow the ways to save tips on Novec.com. You'll discover how installing and using a programmable thermostat can save you about $330 a year. Novec helps you save energy, which saves you money. Novec, helping you save.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word FAST to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text FAST to 797979. Text FAST to 797979.
Saturday morning update. We're at 7:36. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, the author of Operation Dark Heart. And Tony, it is great to have you with us this morning on the Saturday morning update.
Rick, sorry, always a pleasure to be up with you. So, happy New Year.
And to you too, sir. Well, I want to talk to you about Paul Whelan because it's not a particularly happy New Year for him. He is likely to stay in prison in Russia until at least the end of February. He had to ask for a toothbrush the other day. And, of course, he's been in the headlines because the Ruskies have snapped him up. And some are saying it's part of the spy game in which he is a pawn, along with Maria Butina, who, of course, is the Russian spy that was convicted here. Now, an interesting article in the Washington Post about a little bit about the background. Now, this is not as though, let's say, I went to Russia and just went in as an American tourist and had no other relationship to Russia except I just bought a ticket and went. Right. He, according to the Washington Post, over the years has held himself out, this is from the Post, held himself out to friends and family as a world traveler accustomed to working closely with FBI agents and American embassy personnel. He spent considerable time and energy developing a network of contacts in Russia. For the past decade, he has had a profile on the social media platform, which is Russia's equivalent of Facebook, which the Post says is unusual for a non-Russian. So this guy is probably on radar screens downtown at the FBI headquarters, as well as at the KGB and the other Russian security outlets. So this was a problem in the making, apparently, if the Post is accurate.
Well, yeah, I read that article, and there's a couple of notable things that stand out to me as a retired operative, and I've worked both, with CIA and with FBI in this area. And so while the CIA officers comment, well, this guy doesn't really meet the profile of a CIA operative, I grant you that. The FBI does do something called extraterritorial operations, and this guy does meet that kind of profile. So I'm not saying by any means here that he's an FBI asset. I'm saying that all things being equal, that he's probably not CIA, but it may be another intelligence service. And with that said, Rick, his personal profile tells me that he would have been someone that the other side would have been cultivating. That is to say that he's the kind of guy that the FSB would have been trying to recruit for purposes of spying on us. So to the fundamental underlining issue, there's something more to this than we understand, and there's all sorts of indicators that he was somehow involved. And so did the Russians decide, hey, we're going to use this, even though we've cultivated this guy to do something, we're going to throw him under the bus now to make a point? That's possible. Is it possible the FBI was doing something with, using him as some sort of extraterritorial asset? That's also very possible. But at this point in time, he is essentially a pawn in this larger game of chicken, if you will, between Vladimir Putin and President Trump regarding the relationship with Russia.
And speaking of Russia, there's talk of Russians deploying nuclear cruise missiles. Where?
Yeah, there's a new report out by Bill Gertz talking about the Russians deploying long-range precision strike cruise missiles in the Western Atlantic. And this would allow the Russians to, use intermediate-range weapons, which, by the way, were banned under the INF Treaty, to potentially hit U.S. targets from Russian ships. So, as you might remember, President Trump withdrew us, the United States, from the INF Treaty back in October of last year. This is why. This is one of the reasons, because the Russians, these missiles weren't deployed and weren't figured out and manufactured in 3 months. This has been something that we've noticed the Russians have been doing. So this is serious. This reintroduces the concept that we really are in, a Cold War 2.0.
Yeah, we have these two sort of issues on the front burner with Russia. And what do we do next, especially with Whelan? Where does that go?
Well, the Whelan thing has to be sorted out. The one thing you dare not do right now is show weakness. I mean, this is something we learned during the Cold War, is that things may get nasty, but you cannot afford to show any sort of concessions at this point in time. Whelan thing, you know, I just don't know what he was actually doing. I think our side has to do a lot more research regarding the missiles. Look, you know, the president withdrew us from the INF treaty. We have to understand that these Russians, you know, doing this at this point in time is done for a specific purpose. And we have to figure out what we're going to do in response. And I do believe this is something that needs to be considered. If you might recall, General Joseph Dunford, the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs, did say with a great deal of controversy during his confirmation hearings back in, I think it was 2015, that he felt the Russians were still our biggest existential threat. And he was essentially, you know, got some very bad media over that. But I think he was fundamentally correct regarding who has the most capability to kind of do damage to us if they so chose to do so.
All right, let's turn to China. The State Department has issued a travel advisory saying that detainment without cause is a possibility in China. On his first full day on the job, the acting Secretary of Defense, Patrick Shanahan, according to CNN, told senior leaders at the Pentagon on Wednesday to remember, quote, China, China, China. And if you look at this morning's South China Morning Post, there is a headline, Chinese President Xi gives Army its first order of 2019, be ready for battle.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of bellicose language coming out of China, and their doctrine is something that we have to pay a lot of attention to. This has been something I've met with senior members of the Pentagon on. From the time the Trump administration's come in, there's been a clear understanding that China has created conditions for its own aspiration to dominate the Pacific Rim. And again, I don't encourage your listeners to go out and read every single Chinese army document out there. If you sit down and actually do a cursory read of a lot of their current thinking, it does tip off the fact that they want to do this dominance of the Pacific Rim, especially the South China Sea. So this is another area that we have to, again, be very clear in our resolve and be very cautious. And let me, a little note for your audience to understand this. The Chinese see this as their this is just natural for them to do. They believe that their law system, which is much older than ours, is what they want to go by, and they feel that they have the right, this is their view, not ours, they have the right to re-expand to the territorial boundaries of the Ming Dynasty. That's the way they're going. So if you sit down and just look at what they're doing, and examine their doctrine. That's what they're seeking to do, and it's something obviously we have to be concerned about.
All right, you're talking about trying to dominate the South China Sea. How about dominating the dark side of the moon?
Well, there you go. I mean, this is another thing we've been concerned about for a while, is the use of space for military purposes. And let me tell you, Rick, if China's up there putting, you know, probes on the dark side of the moon, you can darn be sure that they're doing things to militarize space.
All right. Now, did you see the video? Because I just want to make sure that it's not like, you know, something that was created in their equivalent of Hollywood. You really think they landed up there, right?
Well, according to the, you know, if it's in the papers, it must be true, Rick.
Depends on what paper.
So I think the Russians, the Chinese are actually being very aggressive in trying to apply technology to get things on the moon. I think this is going to be another space race that China seeks to dominate. We'll see how it goes, but my basic point is, you know, space is the ultimate high ground. We have to understand that it's a military area of competition that we must be on top of. So this is another reason why I think we need to move forward rapidly with the creation of a space command to look at this. And President Trump's trying to get us back on the moon. So I think it's a good use of our national capabilities to kind of return us there and start seeing what we can do to explore the rest of the solar system.
Turn to another story that has come out in the last 12 to 24 hours.
Yeah.
The terrorist behind the 2000 attack on the USS Cole is believed to have been killed Tuesday in a U.S. airstrike in Yemen. It's Jamal Ahmed Mohammed Ali al-Badawi, al-Qaeda operative, and I guess he was believed to have helped orchestrate the 2000 attack on the USS Cole that took 17 American lives.
Right, 12 October 2017, sailors were killed, and this whole effort to increase the tempo going after guys like this is what's going on. I mean, the Trump administration has been very much attempting to use aggressively precision special operations things to go after guys like this. So this is a good news article. I think there's no doubt this guy was part of it. The fact that he essentially played a key role in that effort to attack the Cole is, something that we've been seeking to bring justice to for a while. So I'd like to believe in the new year you're going to continue to see more of this sort of precision strike operation where we actually get guys who we know were involved in attacks against us.
Got about a minute and a half left, Tony, and the wall debate continues. Nancy Pelosi calling the wall immoral. A lot of people are saying it's antiquated and it's medieval. What is the reality? We've talked about it before, but this debate continues. And as you hear and see all of these stories, what is your feeling about the efficiency of a border wall in some areas along the border? I mean, if you don't have a wall, what do you do?
A wall
or a fence
to channelize individuals, traffic, and activities. That's all it is. It is not immoral. It's no more immoral than a dam that holds back water to produce hydroelectricity. It's that insane. All that the United States is seeking to do here is essentially create conditions so that you have choke points, specific points that you can control who comes through. And I don't think for a minute anybody wants to stop the legal movement of traffic back and forth between two countries. What they want to stop is child sex trafficking, drug movement, potential avenues for terrorists, and obviously illegal citizens trying to come across. That's it. The idea here is very simple. So I am offended by Nancy Pelosi's comments that somehow this is immoral. What's immoral is to continue to allow conditions for citizens of other countries to be put in jeopardy, by the way. I mean, I was talking to a former member of the Border Patrol on this, and Rick, we're talking about some very inhospitable terrain where people actually die. So for any number of reasons, the right thing to do is create the wall or barrier, whatever you want to call it, and stop the nonsense that goes on.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, thank you so much for being with us this morning, Tony.
Yep.
Appreciate it. 7:48 now, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Serious accident now in the district on DC 295 northbound just after Eastern Avenue. Multiple lanes closed there and traffic is jammed from Burroughs Avenue. So do be aware of a lot of police activity in the area. Also, we do have fire department activity that has Eli Place closed between 3rd Street and Minnesota Avenue, and that in southeast. And still some accident activity on the outer loop of the ramp from the GW Parkway northbound to the outer loop along the right side of that ramp. Otherwise, no other issues or problems to report on the Beltway through Maryland and Virginia. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
For today, we're looking for showers with a high of 50. Sunshine tomorrow, high 53. Clouds on Monday, high low 40s. For Tuesday, sunshine up to 61. Cloudy Wednesday with a high of 44. Outside in Washington, 47. We're headed to 50 and it's 7:49 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is our first Saturday Morning Update of the new year and our first chance to visit with Cheryl Atkinson. She hosts Full Measure every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on ABC7. Cheryl, Happy New Year and thanks for being with us.
Happy New Year to you.
You brought us some great reading for the new year with an opinion piece at thehill.com entitled An Auld Lang Syne Review of the Worst Predictions About Donald Trump. And some of the things that were said when he came into office were just unbelievable. And it's been very interesting to see the contrast in the way things have played out.
Well, for a backdrop, let me just say I did this because it's easy to find lists and lists and lists of what Donald Trump has said that's not true. And there should be, you know, lists like that. That's a good thing. That's fine. But and it's been a record 2 years in my book for media mistakes and bad predictions and bad punditry. So looking at this memorial review of the last couple of years, there were things like predictions that President Trump would declare martial law if he got elected president. there were predictions that the stock market would immediately crash the moment he was elected. It didn't. There were predictions that Melania Trump was never going to move into the White House. I don't know if you remember that. There were just all kinds of mostly negative predictions about him that didn't come true that were never heard from again once they didn't come true. And in some cases, what predicted with certainty is if everybody knew this was going to happen. I even revisited some of those crazy predictions when he was running that said, oh, he really tried to lose. He was trying to have Hillary win. If he won, he wouldn't accept the presidency. He would resign. I mean, just this was endless. There was a new one, it seemed like, every week.
And Cheryl is one example. Paul Krugman wrote a day or two after the election in 2016, now comes the mother of all adverse effects. And what it brings with it is a regime that will be ignorant of economic policy and hostile to any effort to make it work. So we are very probably looking at a global recession with no end in sight. I suppose we could get lucky somehow, but on economics as on everything else, a terrible thing has just happened.
And, you know, the stock market, at least for a time, was just gangbusters after Trump was elected, quite the opposite of a lot of the predictions, and yet people didn't come out and make, you know, correct their work. And, in fact, I think the thing that probably makes people mad when they see these things is the same people are out there, as if they've never made a mistake, declaring with certainty what's going to happen tomorrow.
And that's a piece that you wrote in The Hill. And while we're kind of on this topic, I want to segue over to a story that you have on your website at CherylAtkisson.com. And it is about the Brazilian First Lady using sign language at the inauguration of her husband. And tell us how the media played that story when she was actually signing using sign language.
Well, let me say I don't know anything about this new first couple other than people have compared them in some respects to Trump. I guess he's a far-right leader. I haven't covered them. But I've noticed, and this is probably why they've done it, the media really coming down on them. And the woman kind of reminds me of Melania Trump in that she's gorgeous. I had never seen a picture of her before. And the first picture I saw was an Associated Press picture the other day. It showed her grimacing and conducting a weird military salute, giving her first speech as First Lady, and I thought, what on earth? Well, I went and looked at the actual speech. She wasn't given a military salute. She was sign-languaging her first speech, and she looked beautiful the whole time. I don't even know how they freeze-framed such a bad picture of her, because I kept freeze-framing shots and couldn't find a bad one. She's just, you know, really pleasant-looking. But it was a mistake. So the Washington Post printed this false caption written by Associated Press, I guess, that claimed the First Lady was doing a strange military salute, when in fact she was speaking in sign language. I just don't know how mistakes like that, even at a journalism college, would happen, let alone a professional news organization.
Well, I think it's all part of just the narrative now that it's opinion and attack, attack, attack.
I think that's right.
And, of course, that's what you wrote about in The Smear, you know, all about that attitude of the media and the falsehoods that are out in the news these days. It's crazy.
You know, I think we just do ourselves a disservice. There's plenty of things that are real to criticize and examine with the presidency and various politicians. To make things up or make so many bad mistakes just makes it where I think a lot of people tune us out entirely.
Full Measure tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock on ABC 7. You've got a story on vaccines and autism. We know that's been a controversial topic, but the plot thickens with the involvement of a top government official. What did you find there?
Well, what if I told you that even as the government and medical establishment and CDC and vaccine industry have told us for years that any science that links vaccines and autism is not to be believed, that's not credible, what if I told you that their own chief medical expert, their own world-renowned pediatrician that testified for them in a court to debunk vaccine and autism links, actually privately told the government lawyers that vaccines can cause autism in some cases and told them, don't misrepresent my opinion on this. And what if I told you the government then fired him as an expert witness and went on to allegedly misrepresent his opinion? That's what he now says happened. This is huge news. Nobody else in the mainstream will cover it, and I'll tell you why. They have controversialized the notion so much. The pharmaceutical industry has so much advertising control and control over the narrative out there that it's almost impossible for reporters at news, national news organizations to touch on this unless they're willing to just discredit it in a one-sided way. So this is another story you'll see only on Full Measure this Sunday.
Well, I understand the pharmaceutical industry, and I certainly don't condone it, but I understand it, but not the government.
Well, the government is extremely tied into the pharmaceutical industry. The influence, you know, they're one and the same in many respects, and I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans and federal agencies, and we dig into that, too, as part of the story. I spoke to 11 former members of Congress, current members of Congress, and staffers who talk about when they try to investigate the science behind vaccine autism links or hold hearings, how they are bullied and threatened and cajoled sometimes by their own leadership on this issue to keep it quiet. That's part of our story, too.
Well, this leads to yet another story about the government, and that is your case against the government. And we've seen so much attention paid to the spying on the Trump campaign, but actually you were one of the first victims that came forward and actually has filed suit against the government. It all goes back to the U.S. Intel Agency software that was found in your computers, government IP addresses, remotely accessing your devices. You're back in court with oral arguments on January 29th. Tell us the very latest.
Well, what we're arguing at this stage is we're suing specific federal officials, including Eric Holder, former attorney general, and they're arguing, the Department of Justice, that really you can't sue him, that federal officials enjoy immunity from the actions they took and the policies they followed, which is true. They do enjoy some immunity, but we're arguing not in this case for various reasons that we have, where he would have, we say, had to not just supervise but take part in these improper activities, understanding the forensics and how it would have to work and go up the chain of command. And number two, we're also arguing that we have a right to discovery to figure out the names of the people that are only called John Doe FBI agents so far. We need discovery to find the documents that will tell us who was involved in these IP addresses, the software that was found in my computer. And on the other hand, the government is arguing you don't have names, so you don't have a suit. It's sort of like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? We need discovery to get the names. And that's part of what we're going to be arguing on January 29th.
We've seen the stories about the number of people that just work in the administration that are having to dole out significant legal fees just for working in the White House, even if they've done absolutely nothing wrong and been nowhere near anything wrong. If they have to come in and testify, they have to get an attorney. The legal fees are crazy. You've been ongoing with this lawsuit for years. How do you fund your own case against the government?
Well, it's impossible, I think, really, for any ordinary citizen, because they'll spend millions of taxpayer dollars and unlimited time to fight you. They've got all the time in the world and all the money, and no one else really does. I mean, that just can break you. I have some really good help that has deferred their charges for the time being. Some charges, yes, I have made out of pocket, some exorbitant charges, but it's something that must be done. And then some lawyers who learned about no press groups or no civil rights groups supporting this started a GoFundMe, which has raised a significant amount of money that will help for the past 6 to 8 weeks we've been working on this oral arguments part of it. So, you know, everybody's pitching in to help. One attorney told me, this is landmark. This is being watched by a lot of legal experts. Were already a landmark case. However, it turns out, no journalist that I know of has sued the federal government over this particular surveillance issue. And, you know, it's important to a lot of people beyond just what it says to me and my family.
At the time that this surveillance started, Cheryl, you were obviously an investigative journalist at CBS, and you were also investigating the Fast and Furious around that time period.
A number of things that they were really calling almost daily from the White House to CBS News to try to stop and spin and controversialize the stories, including, yes, Fast and Furious. And we can tell from the forensics that among the things they did with the keystroke monitoring and the exfiltration of files and so on, they definitely looked at my Fast and Furious files, the material that I had in there. So that was for sure one of the things they were interested in seeing.
And if you're listening and you want to follow the story, you go to CherylAtkison.com. There's a lot more information about it. We wish you the best in the fight, and thank you very, very much for being with us, Cheryl.
Thank you. Look forward to talking to you next week.
That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Garden Sense follows the news next, and we'll catch you next weekend.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station.